Hey, Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Dimitri Samakis episode. I got hip to Dimitri through my neighbor and good friend, Craig. He hit me to Everything is Terrible, and I love their mascot, Dwayne, as well as a lot of the videos that they put out. And the thing that stood out is the way they go about making their videos, which they use old VHS footage and they like edit really cool things out of it. So I hope you enjoy and thanks for tuning in. Peace. Hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. Up a little bit. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome the co-founder of Everything is Terrible. Please welcome Dimitri Samakis.
That was the prettiest intro I've ever received. Thank you so much. Wow.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Look, we have a lot to talk about. The Jerry Maguire.
I'm so glad you have him.
I mean, you've come a long way
as far as
I mean, look at all these. I mean, these are all your creations.
That's not even all of them.
This is not even all of them.
Yeah.
Craig, are you happy he's here? I can't lie to you. Craig, he educated me about all this stuff.
I'm glad to hear it. Thank you, Craig. Thank you.
There's one particular video that I love, Dwayne.
Oh, Dwayne.
How'd you find him?
We love him so much. Well, we've never found Dwayne, first of all. That's the sad news.
You never found him.
We don't know where he is to this day. We don't know if he's alive or dead. We have no idea. But basically, Dwayne was one of the first kind of... It was kind of a meme before that was a word that we all used, right? This was like maybe 07, 08 or something like that. And I just had found a Barbie Dance Club video from like the late 80s.
VHS?
On VHS, of course, naturally.
That's why I love
you guys.
Of course,
right? You know, it's really the...
That's why I love
really
it.
The superior quality.
I love it. I love the whole aesthetic. How did you start, like, how did you get the idea to gather all these weird, obscure VHS footage and then come up with edits and, like, how did Everything is Terrible start?
Well, we're definitely not the only ones who do it by any means. That is for sure. So we were really inspired by folks like Negative Land was a huge inspiration. Of course, TV Carnage was gigantic. We had Animal Charm was pretty great. EBN, I knew. Yeah, EBN was like one in college. There was a movie called Sonic Outlaws. I don't know if you've seen it. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Craig Baldwin, this filmmaker. And it's this whole movie about Negative Land and this crazy journey they were on. They were sued by U2 for calling their album U2 and whatever, blah, blah, blah. You got to know the whole story. But anyway. So it's this kind of like incredible story about copyright law. And in it, they really just talk about what it's like to kind of take someone's work and then recontextualize it, kind of like
make
it as postmodern as humanly possible and just like keep chopping it up and remixing it and doing whatever you really want with it until like you're done with it.
Right.
That makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. I mean, it makes more sense watching what... Like you're like watching the stuff on here.
Sure. But it's hard to explain a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Who came up? How long have you been doing this sort of thing? Like since the 80s?
No, we've been collecting for a long time, but we've been doing it as a collective, which it is. It's a collective of us. There's probably at any given time about six or seven of us, maybe. I don't know. We're kind of like a ska band in that way. We have people who post daily. Some people come and go. Some people are with us forever. It's so nice. It's great. We got like puppet makers and
amazing
and musicians and all this kind of stuff. So it's a really nice way for all of us to kind of get together, make these movies, do daily posts, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But also then create other shit like like the Jerry Maguire video store and all that stuff. We want to be doing more stunts, you know? Yeah. And I can't believe you have that. Where did you...
Craig, did you buy
it from the store? I think that's the only copy in existence ever, right? I don't even know.
I'm sure it is because this guy gets he'll find it.
Well, I haven't seen it in a couple of years now, so it's beautiful. Thank you for letting me witness it again.
He got me these socks as well.
Well, there's a real quick funny thing about that.
What's so funny?
Notice that right there?
Yeah.
McGuire?
Oh.
The sock company was like, we're not doing this. We're not going to do this. It's copyright. Oh. It has to be parody. So we're like, what if we just do McGuire? And they were like, yeah, that's fine.
Oh,
that was enough
to...
for them,
oh,
too.
Oh, right.
So it's technically a bootleg, you know, a bootleg of a bootleg, I guess.
I'm a real big fan of the movie itself, also.
Are you?
Yeah.
It's fine.
I really liked it.
It's long. It's really long.
Yeah, but the reason why it kind of resonated with me is I actually went to Arizona State, and you know how Cuba Gooding Jr.'s, you know, he plays for Arizona.
I barely remember this, but yes.
Yeah.
I actually don't know the movie very well at all.
It's a great movie.
It's you know what I will say about it?
Why is he laughing at this?
I mean,
there's nothing fun.
It's a weird movie.
I mean, Jay Moore is in it. He's like...
Yes. Yeah. What's his name from Sliders? Why do I always forget his name? Sliders. Stand By Me? What's his name? What can I think of his name? Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. My brain froze.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I feel terrible.
We'll get back to it.
Jerry O'Connell. Thank you.
Right,
yes.
You're right. He's like the... He's like that really stud, that quarterback, the football player.
He's like the hot young athlete. Yeah. But it's kind of an anti-humanity movie, actually, at its core. Jerry Maguire, the character, Amy Nicholson, the film critic, wonderful film critic, does like a deep analysis of it. She's obsessed with Tom Cruise, wrote a book about him, and talks a lot about it. And it's an incredible... Watch it again with that attitude. He kind of never changes the entire movie. He sort of always hates the little kid. There's a lot to it. Anyway.
Well, it's very accurate as far as his portrayal. I mean, he's like any agent probably out here in L.A. Like, CAA,
but he doesn't really have like an arc so much.
No.
Like, he gets fired and he feels sad,
mm-hmm.
but he still gets everything he wants.
He does.
And even when he loses it, he kind of doesn't care. He just sort of like comes back to it because he has nothing else to do.
Well, he only had one client at the end.
Cuba. And Cuba, of course.
I love that movie.
I love it. What am I saying?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Did you have all this?
It's amazing.
Come on. Yeah, it's an amazing movie. It's great. where did you find all the films and the footage that you would use, to be put into Everything Is Terrible videos?
Sure.
I mean, like, how do you even begin to scout out that footage, or where do you go to find all this stuff?
Well, it's getting harder to find, I've noticed. Thrift stores is a big one. You got, of course, the garage sales, but honestly, I haven't been to one in forever because they just don't pop up that often. And when they do, I certainly don't see VHS, although we're doing more DVDs lately. DVDs are kind of becoming the new VHS in a lot of ways.
Wow.
Because, of course, it makes sense that in the 80s, if there was that explosion of... home video, but it was still kind of expensive to actually like make a thing, find like a distributor, or even make a label. You know, it was like, you could do it for very cheap, but
right.
to produce it in mass quantities. But then with like DVD burners, then any film student could just submit.
Just do it.
So they're all over Amoeba, tons of like Record Surplus out in Santa Monica, Chicago.
What this stuff?
All that stuff is from, yeah, just
your stuff
found
is...
on Earth. In America somewhere, mostly.
So you've sold over like the counter to Amoeba, like one of these videos?
We do. That's true. Yes, but I mean in their used bins, in their like used VHS section that's getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Oh, no, you're talking about
like
the whole
dollar
overall.
Bins
oh,
and that
right,
kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You're so talking just, about finding this type of footage.
Totally. Yes. Yes.
Cuz we guess that maybe you had like a whole crew that may have like they would travel to the Midwest and look for these like
it's part we go on tour
garage sales and stuff like that.
So that's part of it. We go on tour a lot. I don't get to do it as often as I'd like because I'm usually working full time. I'm not currently now, and it feels fantastic.
Yeah,
because it's weird to have your baby go away without you. It's a very strange feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
But the rest of the group does an amazing job. So, but yeah, there's a lot of that. But it's less and less. There's just less tapes out there. It's getting harder to find. It's like
it's rare.
I imagine it's what DJs might have dealt with in like the early 2000s, maybe,
like
as vinyl shops started to close down.
Right,
and then
right.
I don't know if they'll come back, but it would be odd if video stores came back, but I would like to see it.
Yeah. It's sad. It's a bummer. It's a different world because of technology. But you guys not only had access to all these tapes, but you had the eye to edit certain. You had a vision.
Yeah.
Like, where did you find the virginity is cool guy? Because that's one of my favorite things
That's one of my favorite things ever. I didn't find that one. That was from the other co-founder, Commodore Gilgamesh. He found that in a, I think it was just a thrift store out here, and it was so we were working on our last movie, The Great Satan.
Yeah.
Which is all of our...
Let me find that one.
there you go.
It's right here.
Yes.
So this is The Great Satan.
So that is us
If you really want to see your mind, you've got to be ready to rip your skull open.
A quote from the film. So that is taken from about 2,500 satanic panic tapes, if you remember those from the 80s and 90s,
especially
the
80s. Yeah, yeah.
Just all sorts of religious kookery, a lot of just like Z-grade movies, a lot of SOV movies shot on video, which are beautiful, you know, shot in camp, like edited in camera, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All of that stuff, and we then kind of created a narrative out of those thousands of narratives to make a movie about good versus evil, kind of.
Amazing.
Like about Satan. One's pretty intense.
Amazing. Yeah. I got it definitely. So you gave me a copy of that.
Oh,
Craig,
right.
Have you seen this?
Nice. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
That's, I'm glad to hear it. What was I saying?
Question.
What were we talking about?
We
try to do themes now.
Yeah, themes.
Is a thing.
Okay.
So it's like, that's a topic that we really wanted to cover just because we grew up in that time of just when Satanism was like this big deal. It didn't really make any sense to us, but we were terrified of it as kids. It just seemed like, oh, I'm gonna die. Like a Satanist will murder me one day.
Right.
That's how I'll die. It's how we're all gonna die.
Like,
it's only a matter of time.
When did you start feeling that? Like, did you grow up with certain satanic movies that come to mind? What are some movies
that
come to mind?
It wasn't
literature?
Even a lot of movies. There was some. I mean, there'd be like Stephen King or whatever. There's like It and all that kind of stuff. But it was a lot of the TV one, of course. The Tim Curry movie. That one's incredible.
That's on VHS.
That's
VHS in my closet somewhere.
Well, that VHS is one of the things that inspired us for Everything Is Terrible.
Yeah,
there was
four or something in it, right?
There was a
six.
The miniseries?
Yeah,
it was something like that.
I remember I have some of the tapes in my closet somewhere.
Well, that movie, if you go back to it, it's incredibly
it's
mind-bogglingly
bonkers. The
Chinese
restaurant scene?
Yeah, it's insane. The head in the refrigerator.
Oh, insane.
So there was a guy that we knew, like a friend of a friend, that made a video of a supercut kind of cutting it together of that TV movie, It, and we thought it was the funniest fucking thing in the world. We just watched it in college over and over and over again, and we thought, like, that stuff in TV Carnage and all this, how can we, like... What can we do to sort of like, we're finding all this stuff. We've been collecting forever. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Maybe we should be telling our own stories and like actually making these narratives. So the first movie was just kind of us fucking around. Everything Is Terrible, the movie.
Yeah, this one.
Yeah. And so that one's more of just a mixtape. I'm still happy with it, but it's a lot. We weren't as good of editors yet.
Like, I wanted to ask about that.
Yeah.
When did this start originally, Everything Is Terrible? When did you make your first edit?
So that was in 2007. That was, like, the end of 2007. We were a bunch of us were living in Chicago at the time, and I'd moved to L.A. about then. And we were like, what do we do? We always want to do comedy, but, like...
Yeah, do something different.
I don't know. I don't really like... We didn't want to do stand-up or sketch. We did sketch and stuff in college, but it just felt like, I don't know. Who cares? So we knew we wanted to do something with found footage, and then it was like YouTube had just started. So we were like, oh, let's give this a shot and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And like maybe we'll make a movie. It'll just be fun to like pass stuff back and forth. And then YouTube got big. People were looking at stuff on YouTube a lot. I think it was honestly just news sites like Boing Boing, Video Gum, Stereo Gum. They were
popping off just then.
Just they needed content, basically. Yeah. And it was great because it gave us this big confidence boost right away of like, whoa, the CBC called us the greatest website ever. And like Time Magazine was like one of the best websites of whatever
year. Wait a minute, Time Magazine?
I mean, who reads Time Magazine?
But
it was so weird.
But that's a really prestigious
Literally nothing changed. Like I was like, finally going to get some
Time Magazine,
representation.
Yeah,
no,
but
nobody
Time
cares.
Magazine referred...
It was very nice. It was an honor.
It's
but
Time
it's
Magazine,
just,
man.
I think there wasn't a lot of competition at
the
time.
Right, right. What were you editing on back then, and how is it? What are you editing on now as far as software?
It's honestly pretty much, I'm sure anyone watching who uses editing software, it's all Premiere now. We were Final Cut, bros forever. We thought we'd never leave Final Cut, but then the apocalypse happened, and then then we all moved up. But you know, I still use
the Avid.
Oh God, no! I would never. I don't. I wouldn't even know what to do with it. Yeah, never. Do
friend,
you?
No, his you? Friend. His friend uses. Yeah.
See, I fuck Avid, yeah. Right? Because it's so elitist. Premiere.
Final Cut. That's interesting that you said that. Yeah. Why are Avid editors elitist?
Well, I'm not saying the Avid editors are
elitist. Or the program.
The program is
elitist.
Explain what
the program is, first of all.
So there's a hierarchy of editing software. There's free stuff like iMovie or, I'm sorry, I don't know what the Windows equivalent is. Right? iMovie? Is that the one? Yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah. It's really terrible, but it works. It's cool. If that's all you can afford, awesome. Then there's like Final Cut, which I guess still exists, owned by Apple. Adobe is very interesting stuff. Adobe Premiere. And then there's like, and those are all fairly, either you can bootleg them, which I think we all did. That's how we all did it for most of the time.
How do you bootleg an editing program?
BitTorrent, of course. Okay. You know, you crack it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But it's illegal, right?
Sure. Okay. But I don't even think they cared, because I think then it makes you a devoted customer.
Oh, because so you, like, sure, you learn it.
Because then when I would get jobs at TV, you know, at like, on TV shows and stuff, they were like, well, do you know Final Cut? And it's like, yeah, of course.
Right, I
so,
know it.
So there's that. And then there's Avid, which is, I don't even know how expensive it was back in the day.
How much, Craig?
Yeah, three, four grand. Training. It's like this whole thing. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I want something I can do on a laptop, you know?
I'm on, he doesn't like this, but I'm on Adobe Premiere Rush.
Is that the one on the iPad or whatever?
It's the kid version of Premiere.
I've tried it. Again, I try to be open to it. I just find it so difficult. I just think it's really, really hard to... I'm surprised you edit the show on it?
No. We edit on Premiere, but I edit my own I do a puppet show.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, so I edit Lil Ray's World on that.
But isn't that like a good way to spend the time just like on the toilet or whatever? Right, because you can just do it...
No, I do it on my laptop.
Oh, you still do it on the laptop. Well, can't you do it on the iPhone or on the iPad?
I probably.
You seem scared. I didn't mean to freak you out.
I'm scared because you're making me realize I'm like wasting time. I could just do it on my phone.
Editing software is still kind of hard on the phone. It's not hard. It's just I haven't found my...
Your niche?
My home.
Oh,
like,
okay,
there's plenty of apps. I think even Adobe, there is one for Adobe that's like... You can basically, all I want is put music and video on top of each other, but like I can't download off YouTube off the phone. It makes me crazy.
Right. You need access to all that because the way you work, because you take from so many different things, you need access to everything.
Yeah, I really just want like a massive database, and it'll never. I mean, it's. We want to build an archive in LA. No one cares about VHS culture. It's like everyone, another elitist thing. Okay, another elitist thing.
But that's a good thing.
It's good.
Cassette tape. I mean.
Oh, hey. VHS tape.
Oh, see? VHS. There you go.
No.
Cassette tape.
I think what I'm saying is I think that's as important.
This is an artifact, man.
Exactly. But nobody treats it like that.
No, but it's kind of like cavemen and hieroglyphics. It's like you
How
got.
How so?
Well, it's like this is a part of history. You have to honor that. You can't just pretend that these things didn't exist.
But don't you feel like people...
You have to
I feel like the way that people treat film, right? And it needs to be preserved. I'm all for it.
You're talking about movies,
like
now.
Movie film,
right.
Like actual like
I
film
like,
prints.
I love movie film.
I love movie
There's
film.
A certain way it looks.
Totally. I still think digital doesn't look as good.
I think I know where you're going. Keep going.
But nobody cares about the preservation of
film.
Analog the way that they do about film. There's the Cinémathèque in France. There's so many things out here. The Academy Museum that they're building out here. Have you seen it? It's like this multi.
No,
it's
I
haven't
great. Checked it out yet.
I think it's not open yet, but it's like it's great. I'm all for it. But why isn't there an archive free to or you know, open to the public cataloging that entire world? It's a
I'm
shame.
On your team.
If this was a debate, I would be on your
side.
Oh yeah, I wanted to make it very clear.
It's kind of like a payphone, right? Like no, like these kids nowadays.
Right.
If you were to show them a payphone, like outside of any like Arby's or 7-Eleven that we grew up with, they would think like, "What the hell is that?"
I saw one today, and it looked, and I just
it looked terrifying.
It looked moldy. Somehow it was thrashed. It was scary, just like something about it was haunting.
But it's going back to what we're talking about.
But yes.
Back then, okay, let's go in a time machine in the DeLorean and not to back to 1983 or 84. Back then, like kids didn't realize they were so spoiled. Like we have this device that just you could get on the internet, you could do anything you want. But back then, you had to go to 7-Eleven and put a quarter in the thing. And then you only had like 60 seconds,
something
like
that.
A minute,
sure, whatever.
Or 30 seconds, and that's it.
Yeah.
but it's going back to VHS tapes, cassette tapes. It's like these
things
were special.
It's a lost culture.
It's a lost culture.
Yeah,
and not only that, any kind of medium that's on these things,
yeah.
I tended to listen to it more intently.
Yeah, I'm weirdly like going back to analog stuff, which feels kind of
like tapes.
Yeah,
stuff.
I'm weirdly going. I bought like a nice 4-track cassette player.
There you go.
That sounds great, and I really like it. And like even vinyl, I'm kind of getting back into, which I never thought I'd get into because I just thought I don't have the time or like the room or the money, and it's just I've got it all on my phone. But then I did notice that it was like
that's what it is.
I'm missing something.
You know, okay, we grew up in a generation where you had to earn the listen.
By the way, I would also take this generation in a heartbeat, by the way.
I would too, but I'm just jealous.
I'm incredibly jealous of this generation.
You're right. I'm only saying this because I am jealous, and we grew up during the wrong time.
But going back
to us, like you had to earn that view. Like you had actually to put it in a machine, press rewind, wait.
Oh yeah.
Press stop. Same thing with a cassette tape, like for an album. If you want to listen to Boys Don't Cry, The Cure, and it's a song too on Standing on the Beach,
yeah.
You would have to rewind and then make sure, okay, I think it's here. Oh, it's not quite there. Rewind a little bit more. Then
the art of making a mixtape, of course, was a whole, you know, this beautiful art that I still do kind of miss. Yeah. I'm still very jealous of the youth of today. If I had iPhone in my pocket, it would be the greatest thing ever.
But are you really?
Yeah,
you really
truly am.
Because you know, it's not.
I wish I was that spoiled.
No, but listen. I understand your point, but in a few years, man, they're going to be born with like these microchips.
I do worry about
their temple.
Okay, like remember an example of it is so like when you were saying like how we watched tapes or listened to cassettes or whatever. It's like, what about remember the first time you saw scrambled porn and just
I love that.
It was incredible.
I love it.
It was, and then. The one out of every 100 times that you tried it, it just worked somehow or it was less scrambled.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of see it. That's kind of helped shape us, I think, right? Yeah. In a weird way.
We grew up with WW's Dallas.
Yeah, and especially softcore of like Cinemax, that era.
I love it. The hairdos, the lingerie.
Emmanuel in Space, that was a little later, but still, you know, all the Fred Olen Ray films is a big director of them anyway. But then thinking about if I could watch all the porn the way I could now at like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
That probably does sound nice, but I don't know what that would do to me.
Can I be honest with you?
Sure.
You know what I had growing up?
What's that?
So you brought up porn.
I did.
I had my own, like I hid it away. I created my own porn VHS tape.
Oh,
but
like
it wasn't porn.
Like a mix. Yeah, like
it
a
was
hot,
a mix.
Like a boner jam, as
and
they
I
call
had
it. Yeah.
A boner jam. Yeah. But I had, remember the movie Reanimator?
Of course.
So there's scenes from Reanimator.
Oh, so this was sort of a Mr. Skin before
it was
of its day.
My own thing.
But it was wherever you could find boobs, you collected them.
I collected
this
that.
This was your cabinet of curiosities,
exactly.
In a sense.
It was
Got
my
it.
Personal
Got
tape.
Now see, that's incredible. Of course, I
Come
did
on,
the same
dude.
Thing. Of course.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
I even did it where I had it. Taped off of the screen because I for some reason didn't know how to figure out how to tape off of TV, which I know was I did and didn't.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah,
was
yeah.
like the cable box was the coaxial thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Again, we sound like we're talking about ancient artifacts at this point.
It's
but
not, though.
But then just getting like a Hi8 camera and actually just taping Cinemax at 2 a.m. is one of the saddest
Amazing.
Things that
yeah.
might have ever happened.
How'd you
in
get
1990?
The fuzzy? There's
oh, it was so blurry and terrible.
Calibration
yeah.
too. No,
it was
like
terrible.
You know, like
yeah,
the VHS
had the
was,
wavy lines.
Yeah.
But again. It was important. It really it was very rare when it came up when Dinosaur Island
or anything on
Bikini
HBO.
Car Wash Company 2 or whatever
yeah.
was on. This was a big deal.
It made us
who we are.
Yeah, but you remember Reanimator, right? There
of
was
course.
There was like boobs.
Yeah,
in it,
there's plenty of boobs
there,
in that
but
movie.
But it was like there's like a lot of decapitated like.
Yes, same
like,
same director
kind
of,
like
a Dr.
Frankenstein, like the main. Yeah, he did some weird experiments.
I recommend if you're a fan, see the movie Society that he directed.
Okay,
it
let's
makes,
what you put,
it,
put that out there. Look in the camera and plug that
Watch
movie.
Watch Society. I can't remember the year. I'm
who's,
sorry. It's like 1990.
The director again?
I'm so sorry. I forget his
Craig,
name.
Come on, man.
I'm gonna.
You know,
I'm such an asshole. It's really bad that I forgot his name. Yeah, I don't want to get it wrong. But anyway.
But those were the movies that we grew up. I mean, at least.
But
I,
yeah,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. So we, you know. Mom and pop video stores, that sort of thing. Some cable sometimes if I was lucky. And then, but I think we were all sort of indoctrinated, right? Mm-hmm. By something. by just kind of force that we couldn't quite explain.
Exactly. What do you feel about this? Because I grew up with Blockbuster Video.
Oh, sure.
So
I don't know Blockbuster. Kind of... When they came to town, I was like, it's pretty sweet. They got it. I didn't realize at the time what it was doing to small businesses. But
were you...
It was pretty cool.
That would like kind of define your like growing up, right? Like Friday night, that was the thing to do.
Of course, absolutely.
Round table pizza, Domino's pizza, yep, and then right to Blockbuster.
Totally.
Explain to the viewers and listeners what Blockbuster is.
So it does seem
they
odd.
They might not know.
Exactly. It was an actual physical space you'd walk into where you would say, hi, do you have this movie? And they would say, no, we don't have the movie. And by the way, you'd get in your car for this. Then you would, you'd have your parents drive you or whatever. And then you would say, okay, they don't have the movie that I wanted to watch. And so you'd either pick another movie or you'd get in your car and go to another store. I remember trying to find Pulp Fiction before, like right when it came out, when it was like $90. Remember, that was another thing. When they sold to video stores, they had them in... they had them in video stores first just for rental. It was this whole scheme going on from the studios. So if you wanted to buy them, they were like $60 to $100.
To buy it, to own it.
Because owning it at this point, like 9 months maybe after the movie came out, was very rare. They wanted to make all that money from the video store, so a video store would have to buy 5-6 copies. It's $500-$600 bucks of one movie.
Yeah.
And then, put it out there. So, and then it would come out in consumer, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's what it was for all. And we were lucky even.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was an interesting era when all of media kind of came together in one place, in a physical space, and we could go with our friends and say, we're going to get some pizza and go to this section.
Yeah, I miss
based on
those
the cover.
Times,
it's pretty democratic.
Man.
It's pretty cool.
I loved it. Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was an actual experience.
Yes.
Now it's like, now with technology, you're like, you don't get to experience that, man.
I do. Do you guys have Netflix? Of course you have Netflix,
yeah,
right?
But
of course.
It's not the same, man.
I keep thinking about canceling it because it's so boring. Like, there's shows on that I want to watch,
but
download those.
It's not the same when you're there with your friends and it's like you just got done going to pizza and then you're in here.
I think it's a bit, I don't want to complain, but it does seem like there's a bit much. That it's just a barrage of selection, and really what I go back to is just older, or not even older, just familiar, kind of comfortable.
Yeah, because back then, when we grew up and we were actually in a physical space, we would roll the dice on a lot of these
movies.
Right,
of course. That's just how by you the saw cover. Reanimator, probably by the cover.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great cover.
You'd look at Reanimator, you see the guy in the scientist.
Totally, holding that beaker, it's bright green. It's a beautiful case.
Or Phantasm, you're like, Phantasm, this looks good. I don't know, what do you think? And you look at the back, you read the back, and this is all you had, this and this.
Yeah, that was it.
And you couldn't... There's no Rotten Tomatoes.
And that was up there up against E.T. and
Red Dawn.
The Shining and Red Dawn. So, there was like A to Z movies all shoved up against each other. And it was sort of at the discretion of the video store owner. And that was pretty amazing. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But of course, things have to change. I'm not saying we shouldn't have moved forward. Of course we did.
No,
it would be nice
different.
To have both. I miss Kim's Video in New York, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm, I never really experienced much of it out here. Are you from here?
San Diego. Yeah, yeah, then I went to college at Arizona State. What about you? I didn't even ask you where you're originally from.
I'm from Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, Ohio.
Cleveland, Midwest boy.
Oh, Midwest boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we just keep our heads down and work a lot.
And then what was it like growing up there, like in Ohio there?
I personally loved it. Any Cleveland folks out there watching, I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for it. I go home and everyone thinks I'm nuts, but I love going home.
I love
Cleveland. I think it is a little sad. It's sad.
Yeah.
It sort of helped.
Gray? Is it gray there?
It's very gray. It's comically gray.
It's gray.
It's, you can't believe how gray things get. You think your skin is gray sometimes. Jeez. It's,
what does that do to one's mood? Like, what was it like growing up? You went to high school there as well?
Yeah, yeah.
How did you get through all that in the gray?
It's like anywhere else.
Every day is gray.
For a bit, there's some nice days every so often.
Yeah.
Right around now in the summer, it's beautiful. That's great.
What kinds of activities do you do besides going? I mean, when did you get into all this cool stuff?
I think, honestly, most of this comes from just watching too much television.
Like, okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. Like, what?
Sure.
what shows come to mind? Like, what kind of shows did you grow up with?
Sure. I think
inspired you.
I think for me, the ones that inspired me the most were shows that really, for the first time in TV, if you look back on it, like specifically referenced TV and pop culture again. So The Simpsons, of course, like obviously, but even things like Mystery Science Theater, Beavis and Butthead was a big one. Shows that were literally characters watching other shows. Simpsons was different just because it was so all over the place, but it brought it all together where it was all about references and it was so fast paced. You were like, why don't I get that reference? Who is Charlton Heston? I need to know who that is. I don't have the internet yet, so I got to figure this out or whatever. And you'd feel so cool if you knew a Monty Python reference or whatever in another comedy show. Or so then I would say those shows were super influential because it really spit it back up. Back into, it was still Viacom and whatever, the same three networks or whatever. But it was cool that you were able to watch it and go, oh, there's some sarcasm here. I get it now. They're teaching me what kind of postmodernism is. And that's interesting. I found that fascinating. Right? And I think, of course, MTV and all that stuff, just everything being
this
so
is
extreme.
When they actually showed music videos.
Right? Yeah, but also. Just stuff like Singled Out where you're watching it forever and you kind of hate it, but you keep watching it over and over and over again. And I think that's kind of what these movies started with, which is like, we're watching all this stuff. What do we do with it?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a funny moment that just shouldn't have happened on television. That's a weird... A lot of what we love is stuff that you'd get at the video store that was free, that was that anti-drug stuff or the Stranger Danger.
I love that about your guys' aesthetic, it's so weird, but it's so right.
It means well, but it's misses correct. The mark so much.
Like Dwayne, for instance. Let's go back to Dwayne. Sure. Dwayne's amazing, by the way.
He's a child god.
How did he become your mascot?
Well, that was...
Explain what Dwayne is,
of course, I'm sorry for the uninformed.
Yeah. They need to watch one of these videos to know.
Sure. So Dwayne, you might have seen him. He's a beautiful, blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy.
Who could dance.
Who can dance like no other. He's like a god. And the light, really, I think what it is, he's wearing a bright blue shirt. He's kind of doing this dance move that you never really see anywhere else. But I think really what does it is the lighting of that shot. It's so heavenly. It feels like a nightclub I would imagine exists in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, just everything's pastel, soft pink and blue and purple.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's
just
perfectly happy and unironic and just pure. And this kid is dancing his heart out.
He's golden. I got to dap you up for that.
He's literally golden.
Dude, you found it like a golden calf. Right
and
there.
So, so we put it up and then that became, I guess, a meme before that was a thing. So then we'd see it in GIFs and other videos and just being referenced on message boards and that kind of thing.
Oh, just caught on?
And we were like, oh, that's so cool that we didn't make it, but we were hopefully one of the first people to like find it and put it out there and give it wings, you know?
Dude,
and say, hey, this exists somewhere. Yeah, like that's...
There's someone with the Dwayne tattoo.
Yeah, there's
tattoo.
Yeah, I think there might be multiple Dwayne tattoos, yeah.
Craig, you got to get a Dwayne tattoo.
We've said it still.
Dude,
this still stands.
Talk him into it.
Well, for those at home and you too, we've said it. We're gonna probably have to turn it off, but we've said if you get a tattoo of Everything
Dwayne?
Is Terrible, or just any EIT tattoo, we will let you into any of our shows for free for life. But now we're getting to the point where it's like, okay, well maybe we need to calm down. But still,
so
right
if
now
I
it's fine.
Get an EIT,
yeah,
even the initials.
Sure, why not?
Like on my neck.
Absolutely.
I
Are you kidding?
Any of your shows for free.
Oh, a neck tattoo, my God, of course.
But what if I get Dwayne, like Dwayne's face right
we would,
here?
I'll give you every DVD and every merch
that's
we make from now
membership.
On. You'll be a lifetime member. That's a guarantee.
So how many, this is just
It's free
out of
advertising
my own
24/7. Why wouldn't you want a tattoo of something you did?
How many Dwayne tattoos are out in the world?
I know there's one, there might be two. There's a Jerry one for sure. There's a Jerry Maguire one that's beautiful. It's like the Flash style with a knife going through it and blood. It's
Damn.
Beautiful. There's a lot of the symbol that I did here, like this thing. I do a lot of the art and design of the
I like that.
Stuff.
Like, did you design that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think...
do you sell those?
We do. We absolutely
let's plug
do.
That right
everything
now. Like
is terrible.com. Check it out. We sell
so
everything.
So you got merch there? What else
we
you got
sell
there?
Beach towels.
Keep going.
Patches, stickers, DVDs. Naturally, of course, T-shirts. Socks. Pop sockets. We got pop sockets. Cassette tapes. We've made two volumes of cassette tapes that are quite beautiful.
Can you keep going? I mean, you're blowing my mind.
I think I truly can. Wait, what am I forgetting? There's
beach balls.
What'd you say?
Cup holders.
There's prints, of course. What am I forgetting? There's so many random objects that... Oh, we just did like beer glasses that are pretty beautiful looking. Yeah, those are nice beanies.
This is amazing. And you guys tour, right?
And we tour a lot,
So tell me about when that started happening and what is it like touring around the world?
It's pretty great. I wish I did it more.
When was the first tour?
The first tour was in 2010. We did some shows in 2009. That was with folks at the Alamo Drafthouse.
Shout out to
John Gross of the Alamo Drafthouse.
Yeah.
And so they would bring us out there and we would do shows out here. Yeah, that was before they had all the franchises. They maybe only had a few.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized, we love performing. We love editing, but we don't really like our faces so much. We don't really want to be...
You look fine.
Yeah, but we don't want to be... Thank you.
You're a handsome guy. I don't know why.
We don't want it to be about us so much. We do, but we don't.
Okay,
if that makes
sense. That's fine. That's fair.
It's like when I see people like Dead Mouse or something, right? He covers his face, right? I'm like, I get that. You know what? You want it? It's about...
Oh, mystery.
It's like it brings some character to something where if it's just... Like, I'm not putting down DJs, but if you see a guy just... Like some white dude just...
Go ahead. You can say a DJ's name. Go ahead.
No. I'm just saying in general. I'm not putting anyone down in particular, but I'm saying I don't even know what Dead Mouse even sounds like. I don't even think I've heard a song of his.
I do either.
But I only know who he is because he has a mask on his face.
Oh, it's a part of his whole...
I'm just saying. And he is also a fan, I found out later, which was nice to know. He mentioned it a couple times on Twitter.
Well,
I guess people seem to like him.
Okay,
but
so what does that, how does
right,
that make
you
like
feel? Some, neo-Nazi or something,
no,
is he?
No, but he's out,
he's out there. He's very popular.
People know he's a DJ.
Sure.
What's that like for you when you realize someone you look up to, it could be an actor or a musician, actually likes your stuff?
Oh, isn't it wonderful?
No one has done that to us
or
this show.
Come on, that's crazy.
But I'm talking about
it's pretty nice, I would say, a lot of the time. It's always an honor to know that, especially if you're going to a job interview or something like that.
Right.
And just, it gives you that kind of boost, that foot in the door to go, okay, I'm not a... You know, sure.
Right,
I'm not a crazy person. Or, you know, whatever. You know my work.
Right.
Maybe. That's nice.
So when you tour, just go over like a typical tour. Like, what do you guys do? Like, you'll go to a city and then what do you do there?
So a big thing for us is performance and exhibition. And we never really wanted to just play a DVD and go home. That seems so weird.
Boring.
Yeah. It's boring.
You got to be interactive.
Yeah. So, exactly. So we love making things. We were kind of getting into, when we were doing some sketch stuff, we really got into making puppets and that kind of thing. And just
I'm a fan.
There's just something to it.
I'm a fan.
We grew
I
up
do a
in that
show
world.
Too.
Exactly.
I
you know
it.
What I'm talking about.
Like Mr. Rogers, all that. We grew up with that.
Absolutely.
We grew up with all that.
The disciples of Jim Henson. That
Thing. You know, it's weird that, I don't want to say what street we're on, but Henson Studios is around this.
Very close by.
But you notice that?
Have you been?
You know, I've always been curious, but we've just because it's gated.
It seems pretty secluded. Dying to go one day. I've talked to people who have, and
it'd be amazing to do a vlog or something.
They say
it's
as beautiful as you'd imagine. Just the Jim people Henson's hammering here, away at these beautiful. Yeah. They do a lot of stuff
Explain
in London.
Who Jim Henson is?
Well, come on.
Well, there's a lot of millennials.
There probably are.
There's
people,
millennials.
Are there? It
who
is,
are watching?
It is interesting that they're like, that the Muppets I've noticed didn't really age well. I think of them as
Miss
so classic,
Piggy.
But those movies, like, they made them. I don't know if they did as well. Then they do a show that was sort of like The Office. And I just don't think, I think it's too many generations removed. But, you know, Jim Henson, the Muppets, Dark Crystal, Labyrinth, of course, Sesame Street,
Dark Crystal.
That's
We're big fans of Dark Crystal, me and him.
The
new show's coming out.
That's right.
But I like the original.
The new one does look pretty legit.
It looks pretty. Looks pretty accurate.
It looks pretty accurate. I was worried they were gonna go.
Who's the witch? The Olga. They got her right.
Yeah.
Olga, and then the podling. The Gelflings look similar. The Gelflings. What are the things that look into the crystal pot? They're the podlings. No, they're the things that look into the. What were they called?
I forget the name.
They're called the Podlings.
Podlings,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, they look into the crystal and then they're.
But and there's so much. Again, another thing that makes a sound old, but an analog creature looks awesome in a movie. It looks great. Yeah. It looks so. I think they're kind of coming back to that in some horror and stuff like that. But,
yeah.
But we loved the ridiculous, crazy performance, costumes, that sort of thing. And so we thought, well, let's make these movies, but then at the same time, we'll tour with them because we also just wanted to be a band, but we don't play any real.
That's fine.
We're not a band.
Yeah,
so,
but you're touring.
But it makes us feel
like a band.
Pretty great to go out there.
You're touring.
So, yeah. So really, I got to give a shout out to Commodore Gilgamesh, co founder, who has done.
Wait, say his name again.
Commodore Gilgamesh, the
shout
other.
Shout out to Commodore.
Who has been just relentless in the booking. So many shows. When I'm doing a day job, he goes out there with whoever he can find, sometimes people from the group, sometimes not. And it's just wonderful. Like on we're doing one in July 31st.
Yeah, we saw.
Is when
we
start.
Saw the calendar.
Yeah.
We saw. We're
so
aware
like
of
that'll
this
be
stuff.
So fun to do. This is a West Coast tour. So
okay,
it's
that's
mostly
amazing.
Like Denver.
Are you
go
excited?
As far as,
this is a great.
Oh, it's
so
a
great
fun.
Thing for you.
It's
man.
Wonderful.
I mean, who would have known that you making these great creative edits would eventually lead to doing tours, man.
Well, you know, but this is what I would say is that first of all, it's not that glamorous, as
no,
I'm sure you
probably
know. I
want to showcase your stuff again.
Thank
though.
You.
Yeah, I want to showcase.
You. Well, so that one, for example, that one was probably when we went the most kind of insane. I don't want to reach.
Oh,
I don't know why
one?
I'm reaching so weird.
Okay, this is the.
The yeah. Oh, that's an old one. You bought like a first generation.
Dude,
that we don't make. We don't make them in that color anymore. I don't even think I have one of those.
He probably knows what kind of underwear you wear. But keep going.
So that one, for example, was our third movie,
okay.
And that is a remake of the cult classic, The Holy Mountain.
Doggy Woggies.
Do you know The Holy Mountain?
Okay, no, that's crazy. Okay, no, that's crazy.
Okay.
I have a question.
Okay,
let's
let's hear it. That'll
you, what
do
you say,
it.
The Holy Mountain? Question five, and Craig came up with this. Pay
good
attention.
Work, Craig. Good night.
Pay attention. Question five. Why did you use Holy Mountain as the basis for your DVD? Doogie Woogies. Doggy Woggies.
Doggy Woggies.
Doggy
Woogies. Woochies. Come on, show some respect.
Yeah, sorry, Doggy Woggies. Why did you use Holy Mountain as the basis for Doggy Woggies?
Well, if anyone has
so this
seen.
This is it.
So that
doggy,
is all. So what that is.
Doggy
first
Woggies.
Of all, so that is a 1973 art film by the filmmaker Alejandro Jodorowsky. Highly recommend checking it out. And I'm still answering your question, but we remade the film only using dog-related found footage. So, Air Bud, Air Buddies.
Amazing.
Sherlock Bones. All these movies that actually exist.
Dude, he's getting a boner training. Right now. Just hearing you talk. Do you see his face changing?
Well, we nearly lost our minds making that movie, so I appreciate it. Thank you. We literally,
yeah.
Nick and I, Commodore okay, and I, yeah, we... Yeah. Kind of that one broke our brains to the point where we watch so many movies in such a short amount of time that everything, it's sort of like we were talking about with Netflix, everything now just feels like the same blurry mess to me now.
Right.
And I don't know if everyone feels that way, but I absolutely, after that Doggy Woggy nightmare.
Yeah.
So we finished it. Even I've looked back on it, and it's intense. That one.
Wait. In what ways? The editing, like the time put into it.
Yeah, we edited it a little too. We're very inspired by another big inspiration who we've worked with later, which was an honor with PFFR, Vernon Chadman, and John Lee. They created Wondershowsen. I'm sure.
Wow. Well, he knows.
Fans
for sure.
Know the
yeah.
show. It was hugely inspirational. Xavier Renegade Angel.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of other stuff. So. Where was I going with that? Oh, so then we actually made the movie. Once we made the movie, we then went on the road for about 3 months, just dressed as sort of Chuck E. Cheese style.
That's amazing.
Stuffed, basically furries is what we realized.
Yeah. And then,
halfway through the tour, we realized,
Chuck E.
this is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Furries are a thing.
And then what's the other pizza place?
Showbiz Pizza.
Showbiz Pizza.
Yeah.
That was the other one. That was their competitor.
That was the original, and then
Showbiz Pizza.
Chuck E. Cheese
took over.
Swallowed them up. Yeah.
Continue, though. I didn't want to cut
So, no. So that's basically what we do is for every one of our movies, we then pick a theme, do a live show based on that theme, and then go on the road with it, do all sorts of performances. We're going to do Europe, I think, finally in October, we're hoping. Hopefully for a month, maybe. It's so crazy.
Dude, it's like Broadway, almost.
It feels like
It's like a version of Broadway.
But you know, but it's nice that you can do it all. Everybody watching this who has, like, a channel, it's so rare that people actually go out in the real world and perform. So when we first started, it was really difficult to sell what we... Clearly, it's hard to explain what we do.
Yeah, you have to see it.
Yeah,
you have to experience it.
Sure.
Right? Okay, keep going.
And it was difficult to explain. So we would go to venues and they'd say, well, wait, are you a band? Are you a stand-up act? What do you do? And then over the years, it's been really helpful with things like podcasts, honestly, really opened it up where now there's all these sorts of different performances at places like the Regent where we perform. And mm-hmm. where 5 years ago, I don't think the Regent existed 5 years ago, but if it did, it would have seemed crazy. It would have been like that's where the Insane Clown Posse performs.
Right,
I can't,
right.
How could we ever make it there?
But you're doing it.
So yeah, so it's been easier the longer we do it. And it's just the fact that really what's stopping us from doing it? You know, when you make a movie, it's how you sell it, and that's our way of selling. We've never had distribution of record stores and stuff like that, but we've never had major studio backing us.
Right.
Sure. And so you just have to do it yourself, and it works, it turns out. You know, you can do okay.
Obviously, it's working great for you guys.
It's been nice, yeah.
So, okay, let's really pump out this upcoming tour of yours. I'm getting excited about just hearing you talk about it. So where could the, because this is going to drop right before that, right?
We've got a couple things.
Yeah,
so
let's start doing that because we're like, yeah, let's.
Oh, sure, yeah.
We got some time, but yeah, but let's get some major bullet points. So go ahead.
We're opening up a store in East L.A., 754 South Atlantic Boulevard, mm-hmm. July 6th, like 8 or 9 p.m. Come on out. Mm-hmm. That is where we've had it. We have a shop where we make all the puppets, store all our merch, all that kind of thing. It's just been our headquarters forever. Mm-hmm. We've been bouncing around from Chinatown to wherever. We finally found a home. Mm-hmm. And we realized, well, it's a storefront. Let's actually turn it into a thing. And it'll be whatever. We'll sell our stuff. We'll have like rotating art. It'll just be a space where people can come, kind of a proto-archive of what we were talking about earlier. And then we go on tour starting March 31st, West Coast tour. Just check us out, everythingisterrible.com. Check out our Instagram, Facebook, all that. We're doing everywhere from here to Denver to Portland, Seattle, Vancouver, that kind of thing. You know,
it's like two weeks. Yeah, what place are you most looking forward to visiting?
Have you ever heard of Meow Wolf? Do you know what Meow Wolf is?
Well, my band performed there.
Right?
Yeah,
wasn't that amazing?
Band, Monchi, yeah,
we
did a show at Meow
wasn't
Wolf.
Wasn't it like the greatest venue ever?
And I wasn't even on drugs. I felt like I was on drugs.
Feel like you're doing acid.
So Meow Wolf is like, it's hard to explain. It's
explain what it is.
It's like, it's kind of like a Disneyland. It's like a Disneyland for adults, where it's like, it's a huge warehouse, or I don't even know how to explain it, but it's like an amusement park for adults where there's crazy sculptures and fluorescent lighting and different rooms, and it's hard to explain. It's
just immersion 100%. Like imagine what Discovery Zone would be like if you were on edibles at... No, that's not even necessarily
true. No, but it is very drug-induced. You feel like you're on drugs there. It's like there's different... There's different layers to it,
like,
different
for example,
rooms and secret rooms.
Like, you'll walk into when you walk in, it's an old bowling alley, but you'll never tell. And there's this house, like, you're outdoors, indoors. So there's crickets, and there's plants, and there's trees, and whatever, and there's this Victorian house facade. You walk in, it's a legit house. It feels all the proportions of
it. I remember, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right, and then there's a fireplace that you can crawl into that then goes into, like, a portal.
Yeah.
There's a refrigerator that you open up another universe.
Exactly. Yeah, there's what he's referring to, it looks like a house like just any house, and it feels like you're just in any house in America, and you open up the fridge, and the fridge, I remember, led you into like a NASA space station.
Totally.
So it's
kind of like an Alpha Centauri.
Yeah,
kind
you're in a house, but then you open the fridge, and now you're in a whole different world.
The walls literally melt in the living room or the dining room. It's incredible. So
it's incredible.
We're also doing. There's a small room that we have in there. Yeah. I did not work on it, but we're doing a giant room in the new location in Denver. By the way,
that's so suiting.
It's going to be crazy.
Suiting.
Yeah,
for you guys,
it's going to be amazing.
What you do.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense to me.
It's all that kind of.
Yeah.
Just we really like to. We don't want to punish. Sometimes we feel like we do it a little too much. We need to kind of reel it back a bit. But we say that we want to make you laugh while thinking there's a monster behind you at all times.
They'll be on drugs as well.
And when people say they come on drugs to our show, I think,
it's like,
why?
It's like,
why would
I'm
you
sober.
Do that to yourself?
Well, I'm sober.
Okay, nice.
I vape a little nicotine, but I don't. Sure. I stay away from weed, alcohol, drugs. I was sober at the time when we did the show, and I felt like I was on drugs there.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is like.
And there's
this
kids,
crazy.
They're having a blast during the day. It's hysterical.
I don't know why you would let a kid in there.
Come on, it'd be great.
Well, there's arcade. There's arcade there.
Oh, there's
several arcades.
No, it's wonderful.
There.
There's a maker studio for young inventors. No, there's actually so much for kids to
there's
do.
There's a
that
photography
it's,
lab.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. It's honestly
so that's
I'm
in
such a big
so
fan.
Meow Wolf is in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
So that's in Santa Fe.
Oh, Santa Fe, New Mexico.
But they're opening ones in D.C., Denver, Vegas. I think they want to plan to open one a year. Anyway, it's a wonderful thing. Check it out.
Have you heard of Anticon?
Of course.
Okay,
I was a huge fan in college.
Dose, shout out to Dose One.
Oh, of course. He's a,
So Dose, actually, he's the one that, like, gave me the tour.
He's an Ohio boy, too.
Oh, yeah. He's a Midwest guy. Cincinnati. So Dose, shout out to Dose, because Dose, like, actually, like, showed me around. He introduced me to people.
Right.
He actually showed up to our show, and he was working there, actually, too.
Yeah, I think he lives there now.
Yeah, he was working on stuff there.
Yeah, he's got a room, and it's just incredible what they're doing. So they've got this venue in this, again, indoor-outdoor thing with
amazing.
All these neon buildings.
Oh,
it's just looking out into the crowd, you feel like you've made it, right?
It's
just
crazy.
Felt, it
yeah, beautiful. That was a crazy show because even like the, even the, you know what stage that is.
Yeah.
It's like what's around that, you felt, if it's like nighttime at Not Scary Farm or something,
you're
like, okay, what is this? Am I performing at an amusement park? Like, and then it was just crazy.
There's something
dude.
Haunting about it for sure.
It's crazy. Yeah.
And
that's
so
crazy you brought that up, man.
I'm so glad that you performed
there. Yeah, Meow Wolf. We actually have, because each of these have a, I might have a Meow Wolf because this was, each show someone, an artist did a different
I love those,
poster.
By the way. I love all of these.
So this is at Seattle. I don't know, but there's definitely a Meow Wolf one. I think this might be it. Right here, Meow Wolf. See? Meow Wolf.
Oh, there you go. That's
so this
it.
Is the show
perfect.
At Meow Wolf. It's with Kid
oh,
Koala.
With Kid Koala, of all people. Another huge inspiration for us.
Yeah, so isn't that crazy? Yeah, it's at Santa Fe, so it's at 1352 Meow Wolf.
Yeah, it's a magical spot, so we're so happy
dude,
to do
Craig,
that.
You got
to
go check that out, man. It's you have to. You can't even describe it. I think we didn't even describe it that accurately.
I did a terrible job of describing it.
I did too.
For example, we were talking to them about the new room and all that, and they said. I think I asked them at one point, what is your goal as a company? And they said, honestly, it's just to employ as many artists as possible.
Yeah.
That's a pretty great MO for a company to say,
dude,
that's all
I
we're
mean,
doing.
How can you go wrong with that kind of attitude?
Yeah.
You know
and
what
it's,
I'm saying?
And it's like, the fact that it's not owned by anyone. It's just tied to nothing. It's just so actually artists... George R.R. Martin, huge benefactor of it. He just believed in it early on. And he put probably wouldn't exist without his, or at least in the shape that it's in without his help.
Shout him out again.
Shout out to George R.R. Martin, I guess.
Shout out to George R.R. Martin for making Meow Wolf it's 10 o'clock.
Oh, it's 10. I'm so
sorry.
We
have 10 minutes.
Okay.
No, let's keep going. No.
Sure.
I'm glad that I like this because we have written questions and that just kind of like brought, I had no idea you were going
to
bring that up.
But it's so nice to kind of be able to perform at music venues to feel like you're in a band. Like that feels so great to go, we played at the same spot, even though, you know.
Well, not only that, it's just good. You shouldn't even compare it to that. It's just good to go out publicly and tour for... It could be a book club. It doesn't matter.
Human interaction,
human interaction
is kind of important. And I can't believe when you do your shows, are you shocked that anyone goes outside and comes to them?
My last solo show, not a lot of people showed up because it was the last episode of Game of Thrones.
Oh, my God. Yeah, shout out to George R.R. Martin.
Shout out to George R.R. Martin.
That's
but,
really when you did. Where was it?
It was in Santa Ana. It was in Orange County.
Oh,
somewhere.
Santa Ana.
Yeah.
We
it was tough.
Good crowd
I
there.
I had fun.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a vlog out there
but
on my YouTube channel.
It is
you can watch
most
it.
Of America was sadly probably
watching that.
Watching
but for
yeah.
a Mangchi show, well, we haven't done a Mangchi show in a while, but yeah, I mean, that was like more, it was more like, I guess, more energy. Like,
but it's kind of unbelievable to like see, to look out and actually talk to people.
It's weird, yeah.
It's weird.
It's weird.
And I don't, and I've noticed that when someone says something nice in a comment section, it feels nice. Of course, people say stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it,
well, it's because we're the type of people we're like recluse. Like I'm a recluse.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'm a big
I
recluse.
Make it like Gollum. Like I'm a Gollum in the cave.
Yeah, totally.
And I'll do it, but then I don't expect that whatever I'm making will get out to this person.
It's
and then
mind-boggling.
Next thing you know, they're showing up to a place like, hey, I like the thing you made in the cave.
When people say you things know? Like, oh, I've been watching your stuff since high school or middle school.
What does that make you feel like?
It's incredible. It's crazy. It also makes us feel very old. But still,
well,
it's this wonderful thing of this thing that we made. Like, there's nothing more solitary. Well, not nothing. But one of the most solitary things you can do in art, in my limited experience, is editing. It's like, I draw too, but
yeah.
It's like there's something about editing where you can't put on headphones to listen to a podcast. You have to listen to, you have to scrub through footage and it kind of drives you crazy. You sort of, your mind wanders and it goes in all these different places, but there's so much control over it that you have. It's really great to do it and then to put it out there and think, oh, haha, I kind of thought that was funny. Or maybe it wasn't even that great, but I just did it. It's done. Move on. Do the next thing.
But
and then to have
working,
someone 10 years later
people
say,
appreciate it.
And it's such an honor. It's
go ahead, Craig.
Sure. Yeah.
How do you decide that? I mean, just
well, Craig was saying, how do you make your creative decisions editing
and visual effects?
I think a lot of it now, like for the last movie, Great Satan, that was me and Commodore Gilgamesh and the other guy, Wrong Man, he goes by. Shout out to Wrong Man. He's the one who found So Your Cat Wants a Massage. That's his claim to fame.
Who did the artwork for it?
So this is amazing.
I'm just curious.
So can I show you something?
I love it.
Can I grab my bag?
Yeah, please do. Please do.
So I actually
literally just got this in the mail as I was coming here, mm-hmm. and I was. Okay, so what that is mm-hmm. is
I love it. It's amazing.
That is an artist from Ghana, and so what happened was from Africa. So what happened was this book here. I highly recommend this. I'm giving this a shout out as I've held it in my hand for about 5 minutes before I got
it's
here.
Called
it
Deadly
is
Prey.
Well, so there is a phenomenon that happened in a big part of Ghana, other parts of Africa, but for some reason Ghana seems to be the main
affected,
area of interest.
Yeah.
Where in the 80s, 90s, and even 2000s, they would in these villages they would drive around the villages on a pickup truck with rice paper that kind of looked like this on the back, sort of like. Just sewn together wheat, rice, whatever paper, and then would paint movie posters, hand-done movie posters to advertise for a movie that they would later play in the center of town that night.
Wow.
With a VCR hooked up to a generator, oftentimes on a bedsheet, and just the community would come and
whoa.
Yeah. So
get out of town.
So through that, there's this era of
no
I think
way.
I'll show you like one of my favorites.
Those
I know it's very boring to show on a podcast, but still it's
dude, that's amazing.
So for example, it's
that's
Mrs.
Doubtfire,
and there is Robin Williams stabbing somebody who kind of looks like Rob Lowe maybe or something through the eyeball,
dude,
and there's blood everywhere. Who's
the artist that did all this amazing work?
So there's a few different artists over the years.
Wow.
Some they've
can I take a look
of
that?
Please, absolutely.
Wow. I want to show the camera too. I just wanted to show them like an example. Look at this Death Wish one.
Is that coming in?
Yeah. We think of it as kind really perfect folk art in our opinion.
Yes,
it's just the most
this.
Pure form
I love
of
it. Its aesthetic is awesome. It's
when
pure.
Another culture reinterprets American culture. Now what they did especially so the reason why that book is Deadly Prey, which
yeah.
is I have a Deadly Prey Ghana poster hanging above my bed, a shirtless dude, muscly dude with a knife in his hand.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, not well, for obvious reasons, I think.
Oh my God, Miami Vice.
Yes.
That's
yes.
beautiful.
So they would.
Look
at
a that.
Lot of the movies that they would show over there, sure, there'd be Terminator and Rambo
yeah,
and stuff,
yeah.
but a lot of them would be movies that are very hard to find even in America. So one of them. For some reason, that's been done a lot, is one of the most amazing movies ever. I'm giving it a gigantic shout out. It's on Amazon Prime, I believe, which is awesome that is happened for the first time ever that it's on streaming, is Deadly Prey, where it's this Rambo meets Most Dangerous Game meets just all 80s Reagan era action movies, and it's incredible. And so the way that they've done these posters is they usually, no matter what movie it is, they just make it super bloody, super exploitive, super, you know, big boobs, arms chopped off, heads exploding. Amazing. It's amazing. So that is an artist from Ghana who made that.
This?
Yes. And so,
wow, it all came together.
It's crazy. It's wild. So that one, I of course foregoed making
this
any.
This is so cool.
It's oh rad. I was glad to bring it with me, but it's.
And so.
So anyway, we how, did that even answer your? Not at all. That didn't answer your question at
no,
all.
No,
oh, because you asked where the artwork
cool.
came from.
It
you
was
asked,
cool what you said.
In
was
all
cool.
fairness, you did ask where the artwork came
yeah,
from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we pick a theme, and now at this point, me and Commodore and Wrongman, we kind of are in sync with each other. So we'll edit sections, come together. It's like an album, kind of. You just go, eh, let's cut that. Wait, I've got the perfect clip that I found. Let's add that here. And we just do it over and over. It's sort of, we describe it as you're making a puzzle out of thousands of other puzzles, and you decide when the puzzle is done. So it's very, I don't know if that describes
that
it at all.
That should be a movie poster.
But it's very
well, that should
frustrating.
Be a quote. Yeah, that should be a quote. Like
that should be if it
like a philosophical
maybe
quote.
Put that
like,
on my tombstone or
yeah,
something. But
you should.
Yeah.
Say that one more time. I love the sound of it.
Well, I don't even know how to describe it.
No, no. You just say exactly how you said it. Like just
making,
now.
A puzzle out of thousands of other puzzles, but there is no final image of the puzzle until you say it's done. I sort of fucked it up. I think I said it better the first time, probably. But you get what I'm saying. So
that's the most beautiful thing I heard today.
Well, thank you.
Dude, can I give it?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. So that's really what it is. You know, it's like
that's life.
Kid Koala does a lot of it. Avalanches.
Oh yeah.
A huge inspiration for me, at least, was since I left you. Was like a.
He's like Mozart on the tape.
Totally.
Oh my god.
Totally. Paul's Boutique. Another thing where it's like taking thousands of things.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. So because you know, Money Mark did a lot of music for Monkey.
Oh my god, that's right.
They did a Check Your Head. There's a documentary on. I guess Ill Communication,
yeah.
Check one of the two, but a lot. You know what? You said Paul's Boutique, but that's the album that everyone ignored.
Which is so weird.
It's
I didn't
so
know that
weird,
until I read
like
the until
most,
the book.
It's the most puzzle
it's,
piece thing.
It's my favorite by
it's,
far.
Me too.
Yeah.
Because they like, shout out to the Dust Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the most intricate like collages where you'd be like, whoa, they're like doing this and they're
that,
rapping over
that
this
dog
part.
Bark, for example, you know, the
or the
roo,
ping
roo,
pong or the
that's
ping
from
pong.
A TV commercial. That's from, I think, a big Boston Baked Beans
amazing.
Commercial. So they were taking it
oh,
from
it was
TV.
From Boston Baked Beans?
I think so.
I used to eat that.
Well, that I believe okay. that singing
remember,
dog is
but
the
I remember,
first sample
I remember
you hear.
The way the candy looked. It was
no,
like,
no, no. The actual, I think it's the, maybe it's not, it's the actual baked beans. So I'm getting
oh,
it wrong.
No, I'm
fucking
of,
it up.
I was thinking about the candy.
It's the actual, you're right. I said Boston baked beans.
Oh.
That's what that is.
Okay,
I got
sorry.
It. No, I got it wrong.
Okay.
Anyway, shout out to the Beastie Boys.
Shout
huge,
out to the
huge,
Boys.
Huge.
But the Dust Brothers, Money Mark.
Yeah.
We need to get a part two of him back. He was actually on the first season of this.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right. Yeah,
but
yeah,
he was
right.
like the first or second guest.
I bought all his albums. Just because I loved,
you did.
I got into him because
say that
of
into
Beastie.
The camera.
I of course I'm a gigantic Money Mark fan because of the Beastie Boys. Grand Royal Magazine was a big deal to me, and all that stuff.
You know what? He needs more recognition. A lot of people
are people not recognizing
they better
recognize. The mega towns
they,
of Money Mark.
They should recognize it more.
They should absolutely
because they put out the whole book, right? They put out a big book.
That book is beautiful, by the way.
It's like
have
a
you
Bible.
Read it or seen it?
I saw it at ArcLight. Couldn't
do
afford
the
it.
Audiobook. Do the audiobook.
It's
got
thick.
Everybody.
It's thick.
It is. It reminded me. It kind of woke me up spiritually because I forgot how much of an inspiration the Beastie Boys
dude,
were.
They legendary.
Were, I just forgot, kind of.
No.
And I feel so, not. I never forgot,
hey,
but
listen,
I.
Listen,
I,
no Beastie Boys, no Eminem, no Beastie Boys, no House of Pain,
for
no
sure.
Beastie Boys, no Vanilla Ice. Come on, man. I could go on.
You
and
could
on
go
and
on and
on. No Beastie Boys. No, I can name more. You know?
I of course I saw Money Mark in Cleveland, Ohio in
say
whatever 19 and I was like, I know who that is. I know that guy. He's there with Mixmaster Mike and who else was in the band at the time? Mixmaster Mike, Money Mark, MCA, of course the
Ed
and of course
Rock,
the well of
Mike
course
D,
the three.
Yeah.
But they're
and then they had DJ Hurricane before. Remember DJ Hurricane?
Had, yeah, that's
yeah.
right. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, you know, because I think they don't get enough due credit as far as because you said puzzles. That's
yes,
why I brought it up.
Yes.
You said puzzles, the most intricate puzzles.
Totally.
And so you said Paul's Boutique, and then my light bulb went off and I'm like, okay, that's the most puzzle. Like, musically, that's a puzzle
but,
piece.
But yes, totally. And that's so that, again, there's a
sorry,
huge
Craig,
inspiration.
I know we went off on tangent. We went way over, but we're still doing good.
We're almost done. I just want to ask him, how long does it take you to make a movie?
It takes...
This is coming from... He wants to know that.
To make a movie, it takes anywhere from... I'd say from a year to a year and a half, maybe. I mean, if we're really scrunching time, it just kind of depends. I think for maybe something like Getting a Bad Rap Does the Hip Hop, we call it, where we took all corporate rap and made like
Amazing.
A mega mix out of it.
Amazing.
And at the same time, two other dudes, we kind of split off. They made a comedy one called Comic Relief Zero that's on the other side of that DVD. That's all just the worst stand-up comedy or the most...
On this one?
No, on the bottom one.
On the bottom one.
So that was two movies in one. That was our little Nerds Box version
of...
Oh,
this is the flip side.
Yeah. So...
Oh, I love the packaging. And then
yeah.
It's like,
thank you.
Yeah, the upside down. Boom. Then it flips on you.
Like that one, we kind of probably spent the least time on it. It felt weird. We like to really comb and comb and comb. So we're working on two movies right now. One is a... all kids movie, because we just love the phenomenon of marketing to children, specifically as like really young. And a lot of our stuff has that in there.
Yeah.
And then hopefully a memory hole movie, which it probably takes too long to get into, but just look up memory hole. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's next? I mean, what's in the future for you, for Everything Is Terrible? Like, what do you guys want to do next besides touring and doing all this cool stuff?
I you know, it sounds like the most 2015 thing I could possibly say, but I'm working on a podcast to kind of be
cool. I mean, it makes sense.
More in depth. I'm trying to, now like I said, I have to finish it now, which is scary. Mm-hmm. But it's like I'm trying to figure out something where, why isn't there a show in the realm of something like I don't know if you know Reply All or Radiolab or something. Just these shows that sort of have narratives and they go down these deep rabbit holes.
Yeah.
And so but no one really does them about movies, especially, of course, there are movie podcasts, but I mean
that
about
deep.
Home video stuff kind of things. The weird world of, you know, Geraldo on his quest to find Satanism and or to find Satanists and to understand Satanism. This was a primetime special that's fascinating, by the way.
I remember Geraldo Rivera.
Check out Geraldo Rivera's primetime special. It was called Satanism Exposed.
Amazing.
It's like brutal true crime on primetime television in like the late 80s. So all that kind of stuff was obviously a huge inspiration, and I think the next, so I want to go down that world and actually kind of uncover some of that stuff, and then the memory hole movie is the big one for us that we're trying to
Amazing.
Move forward along in the, and it's slow, but we're actually trying to get it.
What you're doing?
Trying to make it elevated in some ways that I wish I could say, but I can't.
No.
But
keep working on it
in ways that would actually make it the most legit, I think, movie we've made. If that makes sense,
we're all looking forward to it.
Well, thank you.
And
yeah.
Please notify us so we could show up to the premiere.
I would love nothing more.
And we'll definitely we'll support it. Everything is terrible. We support here at the Stevie Weeby Show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I loved it. We got to do more. How about next time we get like even some other your other people?
I was saying it.
I felt bad. Yeah,
it
no,
is
no,
a
okay. We'll get them next time.
It is a limited
yeah,
space.
Yeah, it's a
so
limited. But we'll get them next time for part 2, 3. You know, because I'm sure they have their own stories
of
too.
Of course, they would love it.
Can we go over like your because you have your own plug all the Instagrams affiliated with this.
It's fine. Just every not about me. Everything is terrible. Just check us out. We're on everything. I still miss Vine so much.
Mm-hmm. Everything is terrible.
We're not on TikTok. Should we be on TikTok? Are you on TikTok?
No.
But no, mostly Instagram,
yeah.
Still Facebook, sadly, YouTube. We're still there posting every weekday. And every day, really, we're just posting something every day. So.
Do you have any personal things, if you, like your podcast or things, what they should look out for that?
Nothing yet. I'm that guy, just still talking about working on things.
And then make sure you catch Everything is Terrible. They're on a town near you.
Check us out on tour.
Go to everythingisterrible.com. As far as looking at the itineraries,
sure.
We'll be up there.
But all that stuff's on our social, too.
Yeah, okay. So look out for that. Show up. Buy your tickets. Show up.
Yeah.
Okay. And then buy all this stuff on the website as well. Okay. Is that
well,
good?
That's. Are you kidding? This was like an hour-long infomercial. It's incredible.
That's why we do this.
Should do more of these.
Yeah, I love it. So shout out to Dimitri Samakis again from Everything is Terrible. He's always welcome back. And everyone else is invited back as well, affiliated with the show.
Wonderful.
We have a Patreon. affiliated with the Steve Wiebe Show. We have two new patrons this week, Jacob Young and Izzy Marley. Shout out to the people who bought music off my Bandcamp, StevieWiebeBandcamp.com, Izzy Marley, again, and Alex Cortez. Okay. If you want to become make a pledge on my Patreon, go to Patreon.com/StevieWiebe. Instagram/QUANGOU. I'm working on my website. It should be out when this airs, maybe not. I'll let you know. It's not quite there yet. Yeah, StevieWiebeShow.com.
There you go.
StevieWiebeShow.com. I'm working on it. Do you know it's taking me this long to get merch?
It's almost you'll get addicted though. Be careful.
I know. Okay, we'll talk after about that. I'm doing a new vlog series called Stevie's P.O. Box where I I unbox stuff. I open packages in front of camera. So if you want to send packages, send your packages to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. Check out my man Necro Electric Podcast, my man Sean Skeleton's podcast. Yeah. And then Losco Projects, my homie at Nathaniel's. And then WFE. Will you support the homies as well? Support the homies. So those three are the affiliate. Yeah, we're working on a live Q&A. We're working on it. And we're working on a lot more. Yeah, we're a lot more content. Don't worry about it. Just stay with us. Stay with us. Be patient with us. And we're going to be delivering some content to you. All right? We're working on it. We're not just sitting here, you know, scratching our balls. We're like working on stuff. Okay. Yeah. With that being said, thanks so much, man.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a pleasure. This was wonderful. Thank you.
It's time for Lil Ray's World.
Welcome to Lil Ray's World Show. All I gotta say is kids' minds must grow. I got abducted by some aliens, dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck into a world that I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, hey. So welcome to my world. To all the boys and girls.
Of the Little Ray's World. Hee-haw! Well, what the hell do we got here, Beep? Looks like a goddamn huge cricket, man. Hey, partner, what's going on there? All right, let me see if I heard this correctly, man. You were a cricket player named Wilson Chandler, and you actually died playing a game of cricket. The ball hit you right on the forehead. Is that correct? What else happened, man? Cricket, 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 cricket. All right, so you were rushed to the hospital, and a nurse actually let you die inside the hospital room. Is that correct? Cricket, 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 cricket. And so that's really sad, man. It was an unattentive nurse who let you just die, and then now you were a cricket player. But look at you now. You actually are a cricket. So, you know, you could hang out with me and Beep all you'd like, sir, because I actually like the sounds of crickets, and me and Beep wrote a song about you. It goes like this, partner.
This one's about Wilson the Cricket Man.
Wilson the Cricket Man,
Wilson is a cricket, diggity-die, playing cricket.
join us again in about 2 weeks or so for another episode of Little Ray's World, man. And make sure you go to stevieweebybandcamp.com and get some of that awesome music, man. Let's get her done and see y'all later.